If a fish got the lead role in a movie, what would he be called?
I don't know. What?
A starfish.
Bye. It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
Let's go fishing for some starfishes. That is, if you can tell me where a starfish lives. Are they up in heaven or underneath the sea? Won't someone please explain that to me? Should we go out in an old rowboat? Or will we only find them with a telescope? Are you supposed to eat them or simply make a wish? And which part is the star and which is fish? Should we fish in the day or night? Can I use a fishing pole or should I try a kite? Here's a dilemma that we must contemplate.
Do we use minnows or Tinkerbell for bait?
My pot tells me they don't shine that bright. But I would like to get some on my plate tonight. He says that if we're careful not to catch a satellite, then we can have a star fry tonight.
Should I try a kite?
Here's a dilemma that we must contemplate.
Should we use minnows or Tinkerbell for bait?
My pot tells me they don't shine that bright. But I would like to get some on my plate tonight. He says that if we're careful not to catch a satellite, then we can have a star fry tonight.
Satiate our stellar appetites.
Let's all go star fishing tonight.
That's Green Chili Jam Band right here on the Children's Hour, an oldie but goodie. I'm Katie Stone, and we're just so happy to be with all of you out in listener land, everyone here on Zoom, and everyone here at the Outpost Performance Space. Hello to our crew.
Hello.
And who's with us today?
Hi, it's Beth.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Lily Mae.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Max.
It's so great you all are here today. Thank you so much. Well, we have a show about something I know very little about, lungfish. Now, to me, this sounds like a fish that just looks like a lung. Is that what we're going to learn about? I'm looking over at Amadeus because he's our wild animal expert here. You do know about lungfish, Amadeus?
I know a little bit about them. I volunteer at a museum here in Albuquerque that has a lungfish, and they don't look exactly like lungs, so I think the name is for a different reason, which I'm sure we'll find out about today.
I don't even think I've seen the lungfish.
I have.
You have, Max. I bet you know a lot about lungfish.
I know something about lungfish that my mom told me about.
Ooh, well, we're going to find out. Your mom is with us today, Dr. Irina Salinas, and she is a professor of biology at the University of New Mexico, and her specialty is lungfish. And from what I understand, she has some really interesting information to share with us about lungfish today on the Children's Hour. And by the end of the show, we are all going to know a lot more about these incredibly unique creatures. We've also got a book review of the latest in the Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls series by our kids crew member Nina. This is Bird Song and Eco Wonder right here on the Children's Hour.
If I were a fish swimming in the coral reef, I'd flash my fancy colors at the sun whose light shines down on me. And I would thank the sun that warms the creatures of the sea and helps to grow the algae and the coral life that feed the fish. All day I'd swim and sway to the rhythm of the ocean waves and nibble on seaweed treats that are so good to eat. And if I saw a hungry shark, I might hide behind a rock or blend into the underwater world of many colors. And if I were a fish, I would love to be in school with other fish a lot like me and move together through the sea. And when I needed rest, I'd hang out in a coral cave or hitch a free ride on a sea turtle who is my friend. All day I'd swim and sway to the rhythm of the ocean waves and nibble on seaweed treats that are so good to eat. And if I saw a hungry shark, I might hide behind a rock or blend into the underwater world of many colors. And if I were a fish, I would share the reef with octopus, anemones, sponges, worms, seahorses, and much more. And every one of us would be different from each other. Oh, but we would learn to live together in our oceanic home. All day I'd swim and sway to the rhythm of the ocean waves and nibble on seaweed treats that are so good to eat. And if I saw a hungry shark, I might hide behind a rock or blend into the underwater world of many colors. And if I had a wish, it would be that people everywhere protect the coral reefs and keep the ocean water clean, so that fish like me could have a chance to be alive and raise a family in this beautiful world under the sea. That's what I'd wish if I were a fish. If I were a fish.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. With us today on the show is Dr. Irina Salinas. She is at the University of New Mexico in the Department of Biology. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're so happy you're here. Your expertise is lungfish, and we realized we don't really know anything about them. So I'll let Amadeus ask our first question.
What are lungfish, and where do they get their name from?
So lungfish are what we call sarcopterygian fish, and they are called lungfish because they actually breathe their oxygen from the air. So they have this dual mode of living where they live in the water and they can take a little bit of oxygen from the water, but they are obligate air breathers. So they must come to the surface and gulp air, force the air into the lungs, and that's how they basically live.
You mean like a whale? They like come up and... Do they spout like a whale does too?
No.
No, but they are almost like a frog. If you guys have ever seen frogs breathing where they swallow the air, that's how they push it in.
Interesting. Yeah, Beth.
Where do lungfish live?
Oh, that's a great question. So there are three genera of lungfish. There is the Australian lungfish, which is one genus. There's South American lungfish. And then, of course, the African lungfish, which are the ones we study in my lab. And I'll tell you in a minute why we specifically work with the African lungfish and not the other ones.
Daniel, let me come to you.
What do the lungfish eat?
Well, we think that they're pretty omnivorous, so they eat a variety of things, mostly a little bit towards carnivores. So in the lab, we feed them worms, but you can also feed them pellets. I've even seen a whole mouse in a kind of like the style of a snake eating a whole mouse. Lungfish can also take a big prey like that because they can grow really big. They live up to 40 years and they can get as large as like 2 meters long, and they're really wide, so their mouth can be quite big.
What do you think are lungfish's farthest relatives?
That's a great question, and that's one of the reasons why I chose to work with them when I moved here to Albuquerque, because they are the closest living taxon to all tetrapods. Do you know what a tetrapod is?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Tetra means four, and pod means leg. So these are four-legged animals.
Wait, like dogs, cats, like anything with four legs?
Yeah. So the first tetrapods are amphibians. And the closest animals to all tetrapods are lungfish. So you think that they are like fish, but they are more close to us than what you can even think.
Wow.
Speaking of their legs, I've seen that lungfish have some really thin fins comparatively to other fishes. I would think that that makes them a lot slower in the water, so why do they have such thin fins?
Great question. So when you remember your very first question, what you asked me what they are, and I said they are sarcopterygian fish. Sarcopterygian is a fancy word to mean lobed fin fish. So this is telling you that their limbs are very different from normal fish. And this is because they are like legs. There's a credible group who study locomotion of lungfish, and they show that those fins are acting as legs. They just use them to lift their body up off the bottom.
Wow. They breathe air. Do they walk on land, or do they just walk on the bottom of the water?
So they walk at the bottom of the substrate when they are in the swimming form. But another really cool thing, and that's why I study the African lungfish, is they can live on land.
What? A fish that lives on land?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's something that I want to tell about.
Yeah, tell us about it, Max.
So what my mom told me is that how it protects itself from predators when it lives on land and when there's no water, it has like this weird cape on it of venom. So
like a cape of venom is on the lungfish when it's on land?
And then the predators can stop eating it when it's on land.
What Max was referring to when he said cape is what we call the cocoon. So lungfish live inside cocoons when they are outside the water. And this is how they survive what we call the estivation period. So estivation happens every year in Africa when there's no food and no water. There's the dry season. These animals don't die. What they do is that they start to secrete this mucus cocoon, and the mucus cocoon forms this case that protects the animals from desiccation.
Do you mean like lungfish who are on land, there hasn't been rain, they're still alive in their little cocoon. Do they breathe? How do they breathe in there?
Yeah, they do breathe. They have a little hole that they left. So these cocoons, they bury themselves in the mud. They make the cocoon and they leave this little hole that communicates the cocoon with the surface of the mud.
Wow.
They kind of do eat because they have like this weird stuff on their back. It's like, I don't know.
Lipids? A fat?
On their tail, and then they can eat a little bit to get some energy from it.
They have a fat deposit on the tail that they build up while they are still eating in fresh water. And when the hard times come, they can just basically use up the energy that they have stored in that piece of tissue in their tail, like Max just said.
So are they super skinny after this period?
Yeah, they lose a little bit of weight, but they lower their metabolism so much. So this estivation period, you kind of like think of the same as like hibernation, right? That state is what we call torpor. It's not full torpor because they are quickly able to reactivate their metabolism when water comes back. They're basically almost spending no energy, and they do eat up their own tissues, and I'll talk a little bit more about that if you guys are interested.
Yeah, we are. What are you talking about?
So these animals have incredible ability to destroy their tissues and regenerate their tissues.
You mean like their tissues being like their body, like their skin,
their guts,
and all that?
Their kidneys, their skin. They are basically the masters of destroying themselves. It's almost like what we call self-inflicted damage. And I give you an example. When we investigated and discovered how the cocoon is formed in the skin, the cocoon is basically formed by layer after layer after layer of the skin that gets shed by the animal. And to do that, they need to hurt themselves. The skin becomes inflamed. And that inflammation is what makes the one layer of skin to leave the animal and form the first layer of the cocoon. And then they have these amazing stem cells that are able to make the next layer. And the cocoon gets thicker and thicker the longer they are estivating.
Wow. So we are learning about lungfish on the Children's Hour. And we're going to be back with Dr. Salinas from the University of New Mexico's biology department. She is an expert in lungfish.
In a desert river, water sometimes runs out. Digging a hole deep down in the mud, we'll let her live through the drought. And when the rain comes down, you know she perks up again, swimming high above where the ground was. Rain comes down, you know she perks up again.
To be said in one long fish breath. The jellyfish, he's sweeter than the utter fish. He's in the Sandwich Islands searching for a peanut butter fish. The blowfish, oh, the blowfish, blowing candles out excites that fish. He'd like to go to birthday parties, but no one invites that fish. The hermit crab, he's such a pinchy, grabby fish. He lives alone beneath the stone, that's why he's such a grabby fish. The bluefish and the redfish fish, they're looking for the rightfish fish to help them make the stars and stripes, but they can't find a whitefish fish. The flying fish, he's wiser than the crying fish. He flies above the fishermen, so he won't be a frying fish. The tuna fish, the toony fish, her name is Juicy Lucy Fish, says when I'm hooked, let me get cooked, don't turn me into sushi fish. There's muddy fish, there's messy fish, there's scare you half to deathy fish. I'll tell you more about fishy fish, but I'm all out of breathy fish.
You're listening to the Children's Hour in the background, Blue Dot Sessions. Fish Breath was Shel Silverstein, performed by Pat Daly from a release called Underwater Land. And before that, Artichoke from 26 Animals with Lungfish. We're learning about lungfish today on the Children's Hour with Dr. Irina Salinas from the University of New Mexico's Biology Department.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization supported by listeners just like you. Learn more about us at childrenshour.org. Museum of Indian Arts and Culture and Museum of International Folk Art, divisions of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, support the Children's Hour. Learn more about both museums at newmexicoculture.org/museums. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by Electric Playhouse. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com.
I like all of the podcasts because they help me learn a lot. I'm Brooklyn Elder. from Albuquerque.
Find hundreds of educational podcasts at childrenshour.org or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look for The Children's Hour.